This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Look at the sharaf given to us. They close the record and they begin to listen to the dhikr of Allah. Al-Malaika, hawlana, around us.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find in the previous few surahs, or the previous surah specifically, we mentioned that people, or the previous two surahs, have this affiliation of seeking spirituality from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shifa'ul lima fi sudur. As Allah mentioned in another place inside the Quran, that this Quran, the reciting of the Quran, the reading of the Quran, the studying of the Quran, the pondering over the Quran, is shifa'un. Is a cure for whatever the ailments or the sicknesses that may reside inside the heart. Whether we take that as the inner sicknesses that we find that many of us that we suffer from when we fail to focus upon them. What ulama of tazkiyah have spoken about, amradul qulub, the sicknesses, the illnesses of the heart. Because many of us externally we focus upon this display of Islam, which rightfully we should do so inside our lives. But rightfully, we should also focus upon those core inner elements of changing inside our heart the concept of ghil wal hasad, of rancor, ill feeling, miserliness, anger, happiness. Those feelings inside the heart, those temperaments inside the heart, those need to be according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That is difficult. Because the display of a Muslim, a person can adorn that inside their life. It doesn't take much effort, as they say, to do those things. But it could take a lifetime of perfecting or trying to work in their heart of al-ikhlas, of filling their heart with sincerity inside their actions and devotion and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, to take away those detrimental things that exist inside all of our hearts. That we need to try to focus upon inside our lives. Because Allah mentions inside the Quran subhanahu wa ta'ala that this world and the wealth and the children won't benefit the individual. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Except for a person who comes with a sound, a pure, good heart. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. You find inside the hadith, Inna Allah la yanzuru ila adsamikum. Or ila surikum. Allah doesn't look at your bodies or your depiction of your body externally. Walakin yanzur ila qulubikum wa fi ba'd riwayat ila a'malikum. Allah looks deep into your hearts and the impact of your hearts, because some people try to hide behind this concept that Allah knows what's inside my heart. As we find other narrations, it completes the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts and looks at your actions. Because your actions are a manifestation of your heart. That's what ulama of tazkiyah mentioned, that when a sab wa shatam wa la'an, when curse and reviling and repulsive words, they come out of a person. We're not speaking about once in a while. We're human beings. That's the nature of the human being. We can get frustrated, get angry. We're speaking about a repetitious nature, that when a person speaks, every other word is a foul word. Is a foul language, is foul speech. There's a problem inside the heart. There's an illness inside the heart that needs to be dealt with. If that happens to any one of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. As we find in this build up towards Ramadan and coming to Ramadan, these are the effort that we should be making. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our heart steadfast, because steadfast of the heart isn't just the actions, it's also steadfastness within. Or making israful qulub. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qalbi ila ta'atik. You need to divert my heart towards your obedience. Make my heart, make my soul to be busy in remembering you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet, he advised one of his companions, that remain, keep your tongue moist. With what? With the dhikr of Allah. Keep your tongue moist in remembering, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that becomes frequent on the tongue of the individual. In times of sarra wa dharra, times of hardships, afflictions, adversities, difficulties, times of happiness, and more so in secrecy.
that a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, Qudsi, whoever remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within oneself, then Allah remembers that individual on a one-to-one basis. And whoever remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a gathering in this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that individual in a gathering far better than any of the gatherings of this dunya. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I'll remember you. Give gratitude, give thanks, praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I will increase you. Don't become ungrateful individuals, that the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon every single one of us to remember and to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dunya that we've been exposed to, that the spiritual uplift, and we mentioned that some people approach the Quran even for worldly benefit. فَلَا حَرَجْ فِي ذَلِكَ. That people believe that the recital of the Quran will increase my rizq, my sustenance. And ulama has spoken about that. That yes, the Quran will do that as well, will give you a good life, the inner concept of peace inside your heart, but will also open up avenues of sustenance. As the Quran read inside Surah Al-Baqarah, famous dua, that we will ask Allah for goodness, well, and good inside the hereafter. But prior to that, Allah mentions, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. There's some people who say, give me only good in this world. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ بِمَعْنَى النَّصِيبِ. They're going to have no share of the hereafter. So whoever just wants just this dunya, Allah will give it to them. And as a side point, when Allah gives the dunya, that's not a benchmark that Allah is happy with that individual. That's what some of us Muslims, that we think that if a person has wealth, has property, whatever it may be, that shows Allah loves that person. That's not a benchmark. Because Allah gives the dunya to whoever He pleases, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whoever He wants. There's not a codification that it only belongs to a Muslim or to believing individual. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it to whomever He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here inside this ayah, then Allah mentions that after these individuals ask for only of this dunya, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. But the believing individuals are whom? Who say, give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter. And don't get mesmerized with the good in this world, because Allah also still mentions, save us from the punishment of the fire. See, this is the ishara of the Quran, that even when Allah is speaking about the dunya, Allah is still telling us to worry about al-akhirah. Inside another place, that Surah Al-Qasas, that we find speaking about Qarun and Fir'aun and their wealth, that we find at the end of Surah Al-Qasas, 28th chapter of the Quran, Allah mentions, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of the dunya. What comes before that? وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ الْجَنَّةِ, the final abode. Seek that via this dunya. And whilst living in this dunya, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. When Allah gives you the dunya, look at the ishara. Allah's given you the dunya now. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness to the people like Allah has given goodness to you. Not that wealth is given to you that you forget about who this wealth belongs to, or to share this wealth, or to help other people. Allah's given you this wealth. So use this wealth to seek the final abode. And don't forget your share of this dunya. And some of the ulama tafsir, they go into spiritual meaning. They say, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. Don't forget whilst living in this world to carry out righteous actions. That's what they focus upon, spirituality. Another place inside the Quran, Allah speaking about al-akhirah, that we find that is today's topic. Surah Al-Jum'ah, that we find. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. That after Al-Jum'ah has been completed, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Spread out in the land, go out in the land and seek from the blessings, the sustenance, the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prior to that, what does Allah mention? Prior to that, speaking about, يَا أُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Prior to that, Allah mentioned, when you hear the call, the Friday call of prayer, فَاسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, hasten, rush to the call, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when prayer is finished, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, when salah is finished, You've done your spiritual duty, then go out and seek your sustenance. Go and seek your rizq. Islam doesn't say that you just sit there and you just make dua or ponder over the ayat of Zakariya alayhi salam, that when he saw what was being given to Maryam and the wealth or the fruits out of season that were given to her, that he decided to make dua. That's for the anbiya. That's for the prophets. Because their task is that for a short span of their life, they may have been shepherds or tending the flock. And ulama of seerah speak about that's tarbiyah for them to be able to treat and to work with human beings. But when they get to that position, their task isn't to be worried about this dunya. Umar al-Khattab, he used to say that, referring about this, giving the nida lis-salah. لو كان الخلافة أو ما كان الخلافة. If it wasn't because I was Amir al-Mu'mineen or the Khilafah, I would have left that position and I would have been what? A mu'adhin. I would have been the one giving a call to prayer. Because that reward, that sharaf, that prestige, that dignity of being the person who gives the call to prayer, that everything on the earth, on the land, human beings, animals, insects, alimul ghaib, al-jinni wal-malaika, will all testify to this individual's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't trivialize this call. We shouldn't trivialize the people of deen, as they say. We shouldn't trivialize them. We should support them, that person who's taken out their time to do those tasks, to help the people, that we should be supporting them in that task, that they don't have to be worried about the daily mundane affairs that all of us, we have to struggle with, that is taken care of for them. That they can just concentrate in serving the community via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet at the same time, that these surahs that we spoke about, in all of these surahs, this silsila of daily surahs that we read on a daily basis, once again, the theme again inside this surah is al-akhirah, is al-maut. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. That death that you're trying to flee away from, you're trying to run away from, is going to meet you. That's the main theme of the Quran. If you summarize the Quran in few key moments of the Quran or key themes, مُعْظَمُ Quran is al-akhirah. Most of the Quran is dealing with al-akhirah. Yes, in the Medinan surahs that we find, there's ahkam, but the strange thing that even inside Medinan surahs, it's not academics. It's not inheritance, it's not divorce, it's not marriage, it's not laws and regulations. It still penetrates towards Al-Akhirah. Surah Al-Baqarah, 286 verses that we find, a Medinan surah, the longest Medinan surah. Right inside this surah, numerous times you find about Al-Akhirah. And you find the final verse of the Quran, as Imam Suyuti mentioned, Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran. So verse 281 or so, if my memory serves me correct. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. What's the siyaq, the context of these ayat? قبل هذه الآية تتحدث عن الربا. Prior to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about riba, about usury, about interest. وبعد هذه الآية آية الدين. أطول آية في القرآن. The longest ayah inside the Quran is a whole page. The siyaq, the context is this dunya. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inserts وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah inserts that even in these Medinan surahs, there's still going to be a concept of Al-Akhirah. So this Medinan surah, Suratul Jum'ah, the 62nd chapter of the Quran, 11 verses, is a Medinan surah in totality. But yet still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Al-Mawt. He's speaking about Al-Akhirah, reminding us individuals. So this surah, Suratul Jum'ah, that we find in the 62nd chapter of the Quran, as Imam Abu Bakr Jazari said, Tafsir mentions, sent down the 6th year after Hijri that we find. That this surah, if we look at this surah that we find, begins with what's known as Musabbihat. There are 6 or there are 7 surahs inside the Quran that begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah mentions, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That all praises and glory belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It praises everything in the heavens and earth, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Aziz al-Hakim. 4 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the beginning of this surah. Everything on the face of this earth, it praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything on the face of this earth. But we can't understand that tasbih of how the other elements, they praise and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what's known as a muqaddima. Because the greatest thing, even after this ayah mentions about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or everything else, the most important thing in a person's life is ta'zeemullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest thing, hatta an-nas alladhina yanquluna 'anil Qur'an, people speak about the Qur'an, you shouldn't look at them. Shouldn't look at them. Look at the greatness of the words of Allah. That's what it should be. Focus on the Qur'an. These are hadhi kalimatullah, kalamullah, the speech of Allah, the words of Allah, the commandments of Allah. That's what should be ta'zeem. That's what greatness should be placed inside a person's heart and mind. So here even Allah mentions that come to the dhikr of Allah. Allah doesn't say come to the dhikr of a person or whatever it may be. Allah saying the dhikr of Allah is the greatest thing. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. The greatest thing is dhikr of Allah. That's what should be instilled inside our mindset. Inside our hearts is the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is traversing that path, or as they say, trying to find Allah, trying to, if you can use the words linguistically, try to understand Allah, meaning the kalamullah, the speech of Allah. What happens to the individual? It increases them in awe, in fear, in grief, in worry, which replicates, mirrors into what? A ta'ah. That's what it does. It leads you towards obedience. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Those who fear Allah, ulama, the tertiary reading that we find in our world, that people just know about sifatullah, asma'ullahi, wa sifatu subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa asma'ul husna. People just know the literal meaning of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a good science to learn. It's a good science to learn, but that's not the inner science. That's not the inner meaning that our youth are just full of that. Just go to someone and ask a person, what does it mean? What does ayah inside the Quran mean? What's your interpretation? That's why ulama, even based upon this surah, they said that when you speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمَّا تَكَلَّمَ عَلْ awam, you speak to the masses, you speak them about, remind them about Allah, about the last day, to خَوِّفْهُمْ, instill fear and love. People don't have the ability in the modern world that we live in to spend hours on end, that we may have that ability to read and to dissect certain things. They just have that 45 minutes or 1 hour of Yawmul Jum'ah to come there. That's all that they have. And especially in the Western world, in the Western hemisphere, that's all that they have. So what should a person be reminding them about? What should a person be encouraging them inside their lives to do? Is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentioned, هو الذي بعث في الأميين, that He said amongst the illiterate ones. This is the second blessing upon this Muslim Ummah. That we find numerous, four places inside the Quran, Allah speaks about four traits, four characteristics that have been given to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. That He's the one that purifies them, teaches them the book, teaches them wisdom. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم. A great blessing has been conferred upon the believers. One of the ultimate blessings after Islam upon this Muslim Ummah is the sending of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. As he said, Ana da'watu Ibrahim. He said, I'm the da'wah, the call, I'm the response of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who mentions that Surah Al-Baqarah, who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send from amongst them a messenger is going to come and carry out these four tasks. That's going to be his call. And that's what the person should see and reflect upon the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that what did he come to do? What did he come to achieve? Read Khasa'is al-Kubra of Imam Suyuti, two volumes. Imam Bayhaqi's Dala'il al-Nubuwa in eight volumes, four volumes in printed version. Read his seerah, read his life, read the mu'jizat, read the miracles that were given to him, read his life, read his seerah, to understand that he's sent amongst the illiterate individuals. The illiterate individuals, ulama tafaseer, doesn't mean illiterate in that sense. It means al-Arab. The final nation that will come, because we are the final nation, but the first people to go into Jannah. That's what this Muslim Ummah is. The sharaf that's been given to us is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, the seal of prophethood that Allah sent to this earth, for us to reflect upon his life and to follow those traits and those characteristics that he told us to do. So this Yawmul Jum'ah that we find, this blessed day, what did he speak about this blessed day? Because we have this lexical approach towards Al-Jum'ah that we find. You know, we find so many narrations in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim that if the men didn't come for Yawmul Jum'ah, I would like to appoint someone to stand there and I would go and burn their homes. Hadith in Sahih Muslim that people who have no excuse, we're not speaking about Musafir or Al-Marid, person who's sick or person who's traveling, a sane male individual, Malahu Udhr, has no excuse. Another narration that mentioned a person who misses Jum'ah, three Jum'ahs, a person misses it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deviates their heart, writes them down amongst the ghafileen. Ulama begin to discuss, what does it mean, al-ghafileen? Various interpretations are given amongst them. They say that their heart has been imprinted. It's visualized on their heart that when the angels come to take them, that this is a ghafil individual. It's been documented there. And Imam Nawawi inside his sharh of this hadith, he highlights. And others say it means that Allah misguides these individuals away. No goodness amongst these individuals. Then ulama begin to discuss that these three jum'ahs, is it three consecutive jum'ahs, we mentioned some narrations, or is it three jum'ahs at any time in the year or any time in one's life? Tasawwaru, reflect upon this. That for no reason a person missed any three jum'ahs inside their life could be a reason for that person's heart to be sealed. Ibn Abbas mentions, for hadith mursal, ulama begin to mention that Ibn Abbas's extraction, who said that whoever misses Jum'ah and has no excuse, he has no share of Islam. Meaning he's left Islam. So ulama of hadith said that these words that Ibn Abbas is attributing to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they must be his words. Because when Sahaba speak about affairs of the unseen, it's not their own ijtihad. It's something they must have heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That shows the severity and the lexical approach that we have. Oh, we're just carrying out this obligation. We just carry it out. It's just a formality that we do. It's not just a formality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, or created Adam on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah, placed him in Jannah on Yawmul Jum'ah, expelled him from paradise on Yawmul Jum'ah, and will be resurrected. The resurrection will begin on Yawmul Jum'ah. Fudayl ibn Iyad says that this is just speaking about these great events that took place on Yawmul Jum'ah. Other ulama, Imam Nawawi said, no, this shows the importance of this day, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah, created insan, Adam alayhi salam, li-ayyi sabab? Li-ayyi sabab? Lil-ibadah. Wa-li-hada khussisa Yawmul Jum'ah lil-ibadah. That's what Imam Nawawi writes, explaining this hadith. That if Allah created Adam on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah in the heavens for ibadah, so this day on this dunya is a day of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to be taken lightly. Numerous narrations I find, one person who makes ghusl, bathes themselves. Ulama begin to discuss that ghusl Yawmul Jum'ah wajibun ala kulli muhtalim. That to perform the ghusl is wajib. They begin to discuss. Some go to the view that it is actually obligatory to bathe and to cleanse yourself to come for Yawmul Jum'ah. But the majority of ulama go to the view it's highly recommended to bathe and present yourself, to oil yourself, to take the perfume from your home. Prepare yourself to come to this blessed day. And the people, you find it in quarters and sections that has been mentioned, the first people to come there, you find the reward of a camel is given to them. Then we find a cow or then a ram, and then less than a chicken, till eventually you find a baydah, just an egg's reward. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامَ وَحَضَرَ الْإِمَامَ. Then when the imam enters, or he yas'adul mimbar, he climbs upon the mimbar. Look at the sharaf. Look at his sharaf. The angels close their books. They close the record. يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَى الذِّكَرِ. Look at the sharaf given to us. They close the record and they begin to listen to the dhikr of Allah. Al-Malaika hawlana, around us. As we become ghafileen, they close their record and they want to listen to the words of Allah. That you find whoever plays with the stones, فَقَدْ لَغَى. Whoever plays with, in today's world is whoever plays with their phone. Come in an-nas, ana ara shakhsiyan. Every Jummah I see people on their phone, texting, making messages. Ghafileen. Ghafileen. Switch off your phone, switch it all off. This is the only moment, 45 minutes, whatever it may be. I can guarantee you, if all of us are given overtime today, everyone given overtime will break their back, will set their schedule to be there for their work, for their career, for their money. They'll be there. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no squandering and complaining. Because why? We see a monetary gain. Bayomul Jum'ah, mashihal. Just come there whatever time, then complain about everything. No focus. Come back, sisters. It's a formality. You hear the words of people. It's a formality. Sheikh, I read Jum'ah. It's not just a formality. It's not a formality. It's a point of change. That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to read Surah Al-Jum'ah wal-Munafiqoon inside the Jum'ah prayer. Limadha? Ulama begin to discuss that. Imam Nawawi says, because this is a moment of time. The only time you find is a gathering of Al-Jum'ah is taken from the kalima of Al-Jam, of getting together. That's where the community would come together. So you find that on Yawm al-Jum'ah, you find it will be tarheeb lil-Muslimin, lil-Mu'mineen. It's going to be encouraging the believers. And it's also, at the same time, if there's any hypocrites inside the circle, it's going to be a warning towards them. That's why he read Surah al-Jum'ah wa Surah al-Munafiqoon. Huna naqif inda al-Munafiqeen. Al-Munafiqoon used to come to Yawm al-Jum'ah. Let's go beyond that. To awaken ourselves. Al-Munafiqoon used to come for Salatul Fajr behind the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. As we began with, it's not this. The beard or the thawb or the dress or the garment. Symbols of believers. These are the symbols. Salatul Fajr. Bil jama'ati. In congregation. To be there. Hypocrites would come there. Because they did not want to be sprouted out. And I don't want to say these words. Maybe we could be worse than the hypocrites at that time. And I'm being very careful in saying those words, that somebody could twist those words to say that we Muslims are worse than the hypocrites. But I just try to highlight an lexicon approach. That we could be worse than them. That they had some fear. That I need to be there. Because if not, I'm going to be exposed as a hypocrite. And we should be even more worried. That if we're not there for Fajr, we should question ourselves, why am I not there? These challenges of the world, yes, their challenges would exist there. There's no doubt they will exist there. But what about these daily challenges? We can't override inside our lives. Every Isha, I'm tired. I have to eat. I've got work. It's been a long distance. It's been a long journey. How many times we hear these questions, rhetorical questions asked again and again and again? Maybe once in a month, once in a while, ma'qul. It's acceptable. But every week there happens to be some excuse. This should be a warning for us. And likewise, you find Yawm al-Jumma, that you find Sa'atul Istijaba. Jumma has been divided into various sections. And the most strongest view of the fuqaha is that the best time of making dua ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that after Salatul Asr, coming close towards Maghrib. Busy yourself with that in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time. It's Sa'atul Istijaba, as an hour of response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we return back to the surah after speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Look how Allah describes these people. These people, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Even the context of speaking about Ahlul Kitab, and specifically those individuals carrying books on their backs. Why is Allah speaking about this in his derogatory manner about human beings carrying books on their back? That's what some of the ulama mentioned, explaining this ayah that I mentioned. Read the works of Imam Qurtubi, Tabari, and Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir mentions that نَحْنُ الْآنِ, the insan, the human being, lahum fuhum. They have an intellect beyond a donkey. But is a problem with them? La yutabbiqun. They don't implement it. There's a one of the ulama in his tahqiq of al-amthal fil Quran of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. Inside there, he begins to discuss five or six reasons why did Allah use the donkey as an example. Donkey. Why? Why does Allah make this parable? Because no matter how much weight you place on the back of a donkey, ma yafham la ya'qal shay, doesn't understand anything. So don't become like those Ahlul Kitab, and don't become Muslim that just it just becomes books on your back. That's it. Quotations. Flirting with quotations. This, that, and the other. That's all it is. That's not what al-ilm is. That's not what the life of a believer is. It's far, it's a deeper penetration than that. So Allah warns those individuals. And then gives them a further warning about the concept that if you think that you're selected individuals, why don't you aspire for death? You know, the believer, if it comes to a stage inside their life, they don't fear death anymore. They don't fear death. Yes, they fear separation from their loved ones. But as some ulama mentioned, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ, that every time there's difficulty, Allah makes a promise that there's going to be ease. So when you go through hardship inside this world, that Allah may give you some adversity, some hardship, then it's going to be ease. Poverty, then richness. Illness, then health. Whatever it may be. Darkness, then light. So likewise, when He separates you from this dunya, when He separates you, you will be back with your loved ones. Because that's the promise of Allah. He doesn't go against His promise. So Allah remains true to that sunnah inside the Quran. We fall out of that sunnah. So if you really aspire to meet Allah, hope for death. They don't hope for death. That's why people, when they get worried at the time of dying, why are they worried? As you mentioned previously, it's because they know that I don't have the actions. I don't have the belief. I don't have the conviction that now, if Allah asks to meet Allah, that's it. I don't have no response. But if I've exerted my life, tried to the best of my ability, that Allah is to take my life now, then I'm content. Yes, there's going to be that humanly feeling of loss for all of us. But in a greater scheme of things, it's the return. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. It's a short span of traversing upon this earth, and a return back to the real world, the real life. And that's when Allah then gives this warning to all of us, that you individuals, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That this death, تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ, look at the kalimat of Quran, you're trying to flee. You try to run away from death. You try to run away from it. فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, is going to meet you. Inside Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentioned, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, wherever you happen to be, death will come to you. Even if you happen to be where? In your fortified palaces. Look at the logo of the Quran, language of the Quran. Person thinks that they can build a palace around themselves and protect themselves, that death won't come for me. Wherever you are, when your ajal, your time comes, it's not delayed, it's not hastened. Because when people make such comments that it was too early for the person to die, it's never too early for a person to die. It's the right time for the person to die. It's an appointed time. The record is then sealed for that individual. It's the end of the journey of that individual. That death that you fear, what should you have been doing? These signs are given to us, that we read the signs of Musa and Fir'aun. That this ayat, these nine signs that were given to the people of Fir'aun. You know, we ponder, we reflect upon that. We haven't been given nine signs. We've been given thousands of signs. We've been given 6,300 odd signs of every single ayah of the Quran. That's the signs that we've been given. The everlasting miracle, Kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Quran. In the final passage of ayat that we find speaking about the call of Yawm al-Jum'ah to be given. And here we find the ulama of fuqah begin to discuss about the call of the prayer. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ, if the call is given for Yawm al-Jum'ah. And we find at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was only one call. And there's a reason why, as fuqah mentioned, the second call was given, and it was supposed to be given in the marketplace, to remind the people to stop their buying and their selling. That's why he mentions that this ayah, that it's haram, it's forbidden. That there's supposed to be no transactions of business to be taking place once the adhan, the second adhan or the first adhan is given of Yawmul Jummah, because actually it should be only one adhan. But we don't want to enter into the world of fiqh that we find that what some people or the world may be practicing. But we just want to enter into this approach that we need to understand that many people hold on to centuries old rulings. They don't understand the madkhal. They don't understand the fiqh. They don't understand the dynamics of why certain things were ruled or why they were done. That's the problem that we face even living in this environment in the Western world in the 21st century. We take a heritage of rulings and injunctions, a fatwa. لَيْسَ لِكُلِّ زَمَانٍ وَلِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ. It's not for every place and every time that people pluck rulings from a different avenue and apply it in our society. That shows قِلَّةُ الْفِقْهِ. A lack of understanding of your dynamics of what you live in. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ, he taught his companions. He gave them tools. He gave them alert. He gave them skills. He gave them ability. He taught them. When you zakih him, he gave them those tools that wherever they go, they apply the sharia. Not they take a mirror image of something 800 years ago, 1,000 years ago, thousands of miles away, and pluck that and say, right, this is what you need to do. غير معقول. That's not what Islam is. Islam is teaching tools to people that wherever you traverse, wherever you go, you have the tools to be able to govern, to teach, to understand people's mentality, their life, their problems, their issues. That's what we need to tackle inside our society. The issues that we face on a daily basis. People becoming going to ilhad, atheists, rejecting Allah, al-munkarat, al-fawahish, al-mukhaddarat, drugs, vice, adultery, promiscuity, lewdness, bad conduct, bad behavior. These are the challenges inside a society that we live in a cocoon world, that no, these things don't exist amongst us Muslims. That's not what a Muslim is. The Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh bin Jabal, one person, sent them to Yemen, sent Ali. One person trained them, gave them the skills, the tools, the ability that wherever you go, you're going to be able to have the impact on your society. That's what a Muslim should be. So when this call of prayer is given, فَسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. It doesn't mean here, hasten. As Umar al-Khattab said, famdu. Prepare yourself. Come to salah in that right frame of mind, a preparation. Not just rush into salah, rush out of salah. As we mentioned, the time of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the worldly concept, even inside this ayah, if you look at the asbab ibn nuzul or sabab ibn nuzul, you find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was giving the khutbah. وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. They left you there standing. So ulama fiqh have said that the khutbah is to be given standing. He was giving the khutbah. And the caravan of wealth or business was entering into Medina. You know, that's why we should understand the companions were like us. As a consensus, they are infallible individuals. They're infallible as a consensus. But as single entities, I hate to say these words, there were mistakes. There were discrepancies. There were even sins that they may have committed. We need to understand that as individuals, there were mistakes that they had made. As a consensus, it became infallible. Because we have to look at the human nature of the human being. So when they saw the caravan entering of the wealth and the treasures, they thought that if we remain here while Jummah's going out on, we're going to miss our share. We're going to miss business. So what did they do? Tarakuka qa'iman. They left the Prophet, Hadith Bukhari, left him standing, went out to chase the wealth. How many people remained? 12. And Abu Bakr Jazari inside his tafsir mentioned that from these 12 people, it showed this is aqall, the least number of people to establish Yawmul Jum'ah, is a view that he writes inside his tafsir. Amongst those 12, it mentioned that four khulafa ar-rashidun. You know, the loyal companions, people who had rasikh ilm, pure, deep penetration, understand, they remained there with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So Allah is warning these individuals that don't leave. That when it's time for the khutbah, everything is to be shut down, to be stopped. It's a time of focus. And then Allah, as we mentioned, that when the Jummah is over, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Then go out, seek your sustenance, seek your risk, whatever you want to do. Then Allah ends by mentioning, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Ajib. Why is Allah mentioning that Allah is the best provider? Because why, as human beings, you know, maybe when we went for Jum'ah, I lost some money. I lost business. I had to shut my shop. Maybe customers came. Maybe I missed them. Maybe I missed the market. Maybe I missed this contract. That's us. That's us, the human being. Allah is reassuring us that those moments that you went away, don't worry about that. As we mentioned about one of the companions, that when he heard these ayat after Al-Jum'ah, he said, Ya Rab, Allahumma Rabbana, qad abdayna as-salah, wa abdayna al-faridah. Our Lord, we carried out the obligation. We read the salah. We remembered you. We made dhikr of you. And now we're going out. We're going out now seeking our sustenance. Fabarik lana. Give us blessings of what we're going to do. Other ulama, they mentioned that when a person has carried out this action and they go out, then begin business transaction, you find that there's 70 times more barakah inside their dealings. You know, barakah has no price. I mean, ma'ani of barakah is a stream that flows. We type numerics. That's what we work with. Person can have small wealth and it lasts for a long time. That's barakah. That's why before, ajdaduna, our parents and our grandparents, had small wealth, but it fed many people in the family. We earn so much, we find no barakah. The food that we eat, there's no barakah. We eat it, you don't feel satisfied, you don't feel full. Why? Qillatul barakah, lack of barakah. That's you find when the signs of the day of judgment, minor signs, is there's going to be a lack of barakah inside our time. Time will go quickly. The blinking of an eye will go by. So we have this conviction about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah provides. There's in another place inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st chapter. Allah once again speaks about, make my ibadah, wa ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa illa liya'budun. Ma uridu minhum min rizqin. Then Allah is reminding us here as well, I don't want anything from you, you human beings. That we may think that if I worship Allah, I strengthen the deen of Allah. I'm doing kalla wa hasha, a favor to Allah. I'm strengthening Islam. I'm strengthening this deen. Not at all. You should not approach Islam that you are doing a service. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ. They think that they've done a service, a good thing to the Prophet Islam, that we've come to guidance. Inside Surah Al-Hujurat that we find. Rather the blessing is from Allah, with Allah, who guided us to this Yawmul Jum'ah. Hadith in Bukhari that we find, Al-Yahud wa Nasara, they were deterred away. They were drifted away from Yawmul Jum'ah. And this ummah was guided towards Yawmul Jum'ah. The blessed day. That's why Yahud come on Yawmul Sabt. And then Nasara on Yawmul Ahad, Saturday and Sunday. Being misguided away. And the best day is Yawmul Jum'ah. And that is a day of Qiyamah. The day of judgment and a preparation as we began with. So we should take this blessed day as a day of Eid. Of celebration. Of praising. Of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exert our efforts. To make sure that our time and our mind has been placed so that we can come adequately at peace, at rest for Yawmul Jum'ah. And likewise, the build-up to Ramadan. Many times we've said this, that people complain about their work schedule or whatever it may be. They plan years ahead. My holidays, I'll be here in 2022, 2023, I'll be there. I've booked this now in advance. What about a Muslim? One day to go to Ramadan, oh, my work's not giving me leave for Ramadan. Whose fault is it? It's your own fault. You have all year. You don't need to pomp and boast about, oh, it's Ramadan, they're being Islamophobic towards me. You book your holidays. You're entitled to 28 days of holiday, depending what type of contract you have, or 14 days. You book your holidays. That these days I want to be off my work. That's it. You book it in advance. There's no niqash. But you know, some of us Muslims, we don't have that intellect, unfortunately, not to sound derogatory. But we have the intellect for the dunya. This is what upsets us, that you have intellect for everything about the dunya, to be super smart about it. But everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mashihal, whatever happens, oh, tomorrow is Ramadan, then that's it, we just start Ramadan. Companions, 6 months before Ramadan, to prepare themselves psychologically, prepare ourselves. Of reading the Quran. Look at the influx in the first 2-3 days of Ramadan. People will be there in a spiritual dimension. 3-4 days, half the masjid will be empty. Give a few more days, there'll be only a few people there. This outburst that we have. The outburst should have an impact. Ulama have mentioned Ramadan ila Ramadan, wal Jum'ah ila Jum'ah, wal Salah ila Salah. What is it for the individual? Kafaratun is a form of expiation. One Ramadan to another Ramadan. The impact of one prayer to another prayer, let's begin with that. The iman of one prayer, as human beings, we go out, whatever it may be, iman may come down, or there may be diversions. Adhan is given for Asr, the iman is revitalized. The impact of Yawmul Jum'ah, that the khutbah should be there, the impact of one khutbah to the following Thursday night, then again your iman is lifted and the batteries are charged once again. The impact of Ramadan, 29 or 30 days of fasting, the impact of Ramadan lasts from the previous Ramadan to now a few days to go. Now our iman or our body may be exhausted, coming into Ramadan, it should be lifted once again. That's what Ramadan is. That's what the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to encourage us, to uplift us, to strengthen us, and to focus inside our life that it has the impact that it takes me through the rest of my life and my journey.